for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
MassMEP understands that there are so many elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or unlocking their growth that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations.
Every episode, take a journey with us as we talk with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts.
Whether we're in the Northeast,
Southeast,
Central, or Western regions of the Commonwealth,
every episode will explain more about manufacturing and what's happening in your own backyard. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Kevin Tata.
And this is exciting because we're actually in a venue recording this.
We're live.
We're standing across from each other.
Yeah, this is bizarre.
With actual people in a space.
I'm used to being on Zoom, just seeing you across from the screen, you know?
I know. So why are we here today, Kevin? What are we doing here today?
We're at the Strategic Resource Showcase.
Yes.
We're having a great time.
Yes, it is our first event for our Strategic Resource Showcase. And what's really exciting about this is supposed to be our, technically we call this our recap episode. So we kind of recap what we do in the month of October, which is almost over already. And we'll actually going to recap a little bit about the event today, because for those people that weren't here, they can learn a little bit more about what the event was and kind of go through it. So I don't know, what are your thoughts on the event from what we've seen so far today?
It's been great. I mean, a lot of manufacturers in attendance, a lot of fantastic vendors that have been filling the DCU Center, a lot of valuable information that they can give to these manufacturers.
Yeah, it's been great. Any good swag?
Just grabbed my golf balls from Synergex. I'll have to grab some more stuff from the vendors. I've been running around like a chicken with a head cut off, so I'll have to stop by some other vendors on my way out.
Yeah, great swag here today. So before, without further ado, I do want to introduce our two guests with us today. So we have with us, I'm going to introduce, because this is your first time with us on the podcast.
Yes.
Congratulations and welcome. So I would love to welcome Brooke Thompson. She is the president and CEO of Associated Industries of Massachusetts.
Got it.
Right. Well, I'm going to say AIM because it's so much easier for
That's
me.
Right.
So welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, good. This is great. I love it. And one of our, now you're almost like a regular. You're going to be part of just the crew
Must
now.
Count.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So we'll welcome back President Kathy Mahoney.
Thank you. Thank you for having us. Brooke, thank you so much for joining us. This is a lot of fun. They make it very relaxing, but very informative. So
yeah.
Thank you to everyone for listening.
I know. Yeah. It's kind of weird, like sitting across from people and actually having this conversation. Right?
I'm call Haley out because she forgot to mention that this is actually Manufacturing Month. So it's a great opportunity to do the recap of the whole month too.
Yeah. So, well, and that's the whole reason why we did the Strategic Resource Showcase, right? And we partnered with AIM for this event because we always make a big deal out of the Manufacturing Day and Manufacturing Month. So thanks. That was, see, this is why you're on the podcast more. You better watch out. You'll be on more often than you think moving forward. So far today, your fireside chat was fantastic, by the way. You guys, it was great. Tim is great. I wish he would have stayed to do this with us because it would have been a lot of fun to have him here as well. But what a great moderator, and you both did really, really well. And like you said, it was very engaging with the audience.
It was great to see people like Kevin, like you said, right? We weren't on Zoom. How many meetings did we have to be in person to show this? But MEP stands for Manufacturing Extension Partnership, for those that don't know. But to have all our partners in the room and to be able to do that with one of our longtime partners, AIM, thrilled to be able to showcase our services. So.
Yeah,
I agree. And, you know, I say when it comes to manufacturing, AIM and MassMEP are locked arms always. And that opportunities like this are really important because not just because it's Manufacturing Month, but because we really do have to do all we can to continue to push the benefits and the opportunities of our manufacturing sector in the Commonwealth.
Yeah. Well, I think you bring up a really good point. The both of you saying this is the partnerships. Like, how valuable are partnerships like this when it comes to the Commonwealth and what is important for, obviously we're focused on manufacturers, but for other industries as well. I mean, this, it's critical, right?
I think it absolutely is. I mean, think the benefit of Massachusetts is that we attract so many amazing industries, right?
Yeah.
Our hospitals are, you know, up there nationally, but also internationally.
Yeah.
Life sciences.
Yeah.
Our colleges and universities. You can't say that in Worcester. You can throw a rock without hitting a college or university.
Right.
But so again, I think partnerships are key because there's a lot of different industries vying for the attention,
yeah.
the resources, the dollars, the investment. And so partnerships like AIM and MassMEP are critical to continue to talk about and advance all the amazing work that's happening in the sector.
Yeah.
Well, and even for the benefit of the manufacturers, right? It's called the resource, right? So what are the resources that are available to them? They are so busy getting the product out the door and making sure that they're making payroll that they can't know and avail themselves to everything. So that's part of our job.
Yeah.
How do we help them understand what's available to them, whether it's grants, or if they're moving, finding a new location, human resource avenue, resources that AIM offers.
Yeah.
We can't be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
We can't have all. So no one knows it all, right? And we don't, but we bring in and vet and make sure that they're aware of programs that are available in the state. And the state administration, the Haley-Driscoll administration, has done a fantastic job in making resources available for manufacturers.
Yeah, that's good. All right, what do you got for them? Your questions.
I would like to get some input from the both of you on why events like this are so important to manufacturers and also the community.
Well, I think, again, I go back to something my marketing team has told me before. You know, we can tend to be very siloed, very focused on what we do every day. And opportunities like this are really critical because it gives a bunch of different folks the opportunity to come in and hear about the importance of what's going on. And so, again, bringing people from different parts of the industry, from different parts of the state together. Certainly it's that connectivity, right? I mean, you can't have B2B interactions on the same level over the phone as you do in person. So that's what's so great about this opportunity being at the DCU Center. But I also think this opportunity is unique because the micro sessions, you know, you're having smaller groups that can talk, really get down into what everybody's doing, how it might benefit them. And again, I just think we're so busy and we're so focused, you know, I know on behalf of our members running their own business, that stepping back and finding these opportunities for collaboration, it is pivotal to continue to grow and be successful.
Yeah.
So to tie a little bit into what Brooke said, it's manufacturers are all about how can they become more efficient.
Yeah.
Right? So in a short period of time, very efficiently, we have brought together the key resources that they need, the key partners that they need, so that they can very quickly learn about what's available to them, and then have access to those pieces. But it gives them a chance to do those one-on-one. I think we're all a little zoomed out. So, you know, to have, like you said, the micro sessions, to be in person, to be able to ask those questions and have a conversation, I think has been great.
So I'm also interested to hear what your favorite portion of this showcase has been in this small time that you've been at this event. What do you think?
I think it's, I love seeing everyone talking.
Yeah.
And just the collaboration. The Synergec.
Scale 360. Yeah.
Safety trainers and Exolytic, right? We
have
been working with those four for a very long time, and they're all right together, and they said, we've never met. So they're talking about getting on a Zoom, and how can they help the manufacturers, like, come up with a plan?
Yeah.
You know, because they complement each other.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, okay. Not an unintended consequence, which is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
They all have very different services that they bring to the manufacturer. But they're already talking about how they can partner together to be like, oh, well, you do this. When I'm talking to the manufacturer about this, I can say, have you talked to MassMEP about this? So now they start to become our advocates.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've loved, I mean, really, I think Kathy and I are here and our organizations are here to be a resource. But I've liked, particularly through the conversation that we were able to have this morning with Tim to share with the folks in the sector, the employees, the owners, the folks who work in manufacturing, what they can do, right? Yeah. How they can go be involved in these local conversations, how they can invite their elected officials to come tour their facility, which I know Kathy and I facilitate all the time, because it's hard, again, when you're running your business. And let's just be honest, some of us work in a policy environment, but not everybody does.
Yeah.
Most people aren't even, like, if I were to go into a room and say, what policies do you care about? I don't even know if that in and of itself makes people understand what I'm talking about. So I think it's so critical for us to find opportunities like this to say, you're the advocate, you the business owner, you the employee, right?
Yeah.
There's so much power in this. Reach out, have people come in and learn what you do, whether those are elected officials, whether those are students in your middle schools or your high schools who might be your talent pipeline. Because that's really what moves the needle.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to ask this question because this was kind of a big one. Paula came up to us from Northeastern Machine, and she said about legislature, making sure you reach out. I think there's, do you think there, maybe there is a fear? Like, how do we get more manufacturers to do that? Like, what do they need to know? They're just people, right? Like, how do we push them past that to say, you got to reach out to ask them to come in and be a part of what and see what you do every day?
I think to Brooke's point, it's that education piece. I don't think they realize that that's an option.
Great point.
You know, I mean, if you're not in this field, you don't understand that your local representatives, whether it be at the city or town level or at the state level, I mean, they're people. They're approachable.
Yeah.
But they don't understand that. You know, we can help identify. AIM can help identify. We go in and we do those. But they want to come see what's happening in their district.
Yeah.
They want to learn. They like the stories.
Yeah.
You know, the numbers are great when they're doing advocacy for policy or whatever. But what really gets to them and what really gets to their heart is the story of how, you know, something in their district is being made and being put on a spaceship or being put on a submarine or being part of the offshore wind industry or, you know, a sensor in a district is used for in vitro fertilization. Like, it's those types of stories that they like to hear because they want to understand what the needs of their district are. And if they don't hear or meet them, they don't understand.
Yeah.
But Haley, I think to your point, I mean, look, if your only exposure to politics is what you see on the news every night, it's incredibly intimidating. And it seems really divisive. So I think Kathy makes a really important point, which is local politics is different. And our organizations help dispel that myth, help make those connections. Because again, I mean, I've been in policy for almost 25 years, my entire career. And advocates can go in and tell a story.
Yeah.
But to Kathy's point, when an elected official has been in a business, has seen how that business operates, has seen the people who are employed there, and recognize the connection to their community, it is completely different from an advocacy perspective. And so I do think there's so much opportunity there for manufacturers to get more involved in that space.
Yeah. Did you know you wanted to go into policy, or was that just something that kind of, was it like a lucky mistake or whatever you would call it?
Yeah, I think it depends whether it's lucky or not. I think it depends on the day. I had the benefit, and this is where I'm a huge advocate for apprenticeships, for internships. I went to Northeastern University Law School. I thought I was going to go be a prosecutor. My fourth co-op was with then Senate President Travellini. I was able to work on policy. And so, much to everyone's surprise, I said, forget that going and working at a law firm. I'll go work in the State House as a policy analyst. And I did. I said, I'm just going to go in and see what it's about, learn if this is where I want to go. And I've just stayed in that focus. But I'm fully aware that people like Kathy and I are unique. People who are deeply steeped in that is not everyone's, or even close to the majority of people's experiences.
Yeah.
So we have to do our work to bring people into that.
Yeah. Was that ever something you thought about when you were getting in? Obviously, I know your backstory, so I know how you've come along through MassMEP. But did you ever think this would be something you would want to get involved in? And because it is a big part of what you do today as the president of MassMEP.
Absolutely. Advocacy for the underserved was always part of my passion.
Okay.
So when I went to college, I was going to be a social worker.
Oh, there it is.
So,
okay.
You know, this is just a different,
yeah. That's right.
Different venue.
Different hat.
Never thought I'd, you know, go, but I like working for nonprofits.
Yeah.
I've actually only worked for nonprofits.
Really?
In my professional career.
Yeah.
So that, yeah, I like that service piece of it.
Yeah.
Put myself through school bartending. So, you
yeah.
know, service again.
Yeah.
So that, I just think that part of it. But marketing is my background.
Yep.
And that's how I came to Mass MEP.
Yeah.
But just having grown through it, it's just the uniqueness, and you must have the same thing. Every day is different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when I think about how far we've come,
yeah.
you know, even in the last 2 or 3 years,
yeah.
I mean,
yep.
even, and based on the world, right?
Yeah.
But even as organizations, when we think about how far we've come,
yeah.
It's just exciting.
And
I love seeing our products in shops.
Right.
Yeah.
And you said this morning, the way the manufacturing sector handled COVID,
oh, yeah.
which, I mean, and I it's like when I put my mom hat on, right? Like, you have no favorite children, right? You love all your children equally. I love all my members equally. But the challenges the manufacturing sector faced were completely unique.
Oh, yeah.
There's no going remote. There's no going hybrid. There's
yeah.
being on the shop floor. There was no social distancing. How were we able to navigate that? And I will say, I will put Massachusetts out there ahead of any state that we worked collaboratively.
Yeah.
You know, Mass MEP, AIM, other organizations to go to elected officials and say, this is the PPE that they need.
Yeah.
This is the different standards they need. You can't put these requirements on a manufacturer that you put on another sector. And I think because of that,
yeah.
we emerged, as Kathy said this morning, you know, you had alcohol manufacturers making hand sanitizer. We found ways to keep doors open, to keep people employed, and to keep people healthy.
Yeah. What was cool for us is during that time period, we did the podcast a lot. Mm. And the biggest thing we took away from it was just the pride of the manufacturers
yeah.
from the state, because they knew what they were doing was not just impacting us as a Commonwealth, it was impacting the entire nation. And they saw that and they felt that, you know, like, wow, this is what it's like to be that powerhouse again as a nation. And it really shined through in our Commonwealth. So for the first time, I think that's when I kind of really started to buy in and understand why we do what we do.
Oh,
and
yes.
it really caused me to kind of switch gears and go, this is really meaningful. It really is satisfying. It really is enjoyable to watch these people be successful. And that was the coolest thing, just to see people be like, I'm so happy we're able to do this. And this is so amazing. Even during maybe fear and all of those things, it didn't matter.
Think how uncommon it is to see how you can make a difference, right? Either as one employee or one business. And so I think you're right, Healy.
Yes.
That was an opportunity. And it's where, again, we need to lean into the pride and the history
yeah.
that we have here in the Commonwealth as
yeah.
far as manufacturing.
Yeah, it was exciting. Today, we talked quite a few topics. You spoke about quite a few of them. We talked about workforce. We talked about technology. We talked about supply chain. I keep saying we. I'm not part of the we because I wasn't on the fireside chat. But you spoke about these topics. Do you think any one of those topics is more important than another right now for the needs of the manufacturers? Or do you feel that they're all pretty equal? It's just kind of where they are as a manufacturer.
I think it depends on the manufacturer. I like to think of manufacturing as, like, if you think of the infinity loop.
Yeah.
So depending on where your pain points are is where you come in.
Okay.
So supply chain may be more important to someone that's maybe in the submarine industry or the defense industry versus someone, or, you know, getting products from China because there's disruptions coming from China, or impacted by the fuel needs with the conflict in Ukraine and between Ukraine and Russia, but workforce may not be because they're fully staffed.
Right.
Versus someone that, you know, sees a workforce that, oh my God, they're going to retire in the next 5 years. What do I do? How do I fill that pipeline? So I think that they're all equally important to the sector.
Okay.
But individually, when you get down to the next level, I think it just, it really depends on where the manufacturer is and their pain points.
Okay, yeah.
I think Kathy's analogy of the infinity symbol is right, because they're all interrelated.
Yeah.
You know, at AIM, we survey all of our members, but our manufacturers, and ask, what are your pain points?
Right.
And to Kathy's point, 5 years ago, the pain points are not necessarily what they are now. With all the advocacy that a lot of business groups have been having in the housing space, you didn't see businesses lean into housing and the need for affordable housing and access the way they are now 5-10 years ago. But I also step back from it and say, I think it's because we've taken on a more inclusive understanding of what workforce challenges are.
Yes.
It's not, you know, you can't just say, oh, it's openings and unfilled positions. It's the why behind that. And that's really, I think, where we become better, is to ask the why.
Yeah.
And the why is housing. The why is transportation.
Yes.
The why is supply chain challenges.
Yeah.
So they all are undercutting it. To Kathy's point, some employers may be more focused on one area than another.
Yeah.
But that's why this is so challenging. Because if we just fix one or just focus on one, we're not going to really get at what the workforce challenges are.
Right. Yeah. It's funny that the way that you say that in regards to one of the vendors we have is Cultural Redesign. So they're here to kind of talk about, that was a big thing at one point too, is bringing back the culture and moms and how do we transition? And obviously the pandemic, I think, gave us kind of that insight. Do you see any further, like maybe transitions of things that might be coming that we're not really hearing about yet for workforce environments?
Yeah, I think it's a really important question, and it's something AIM and I personally care a lot about. I'm a single mom. I have a 13-year-old daughter and 11-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
And our ability to have a strong workforce depends that we focus on caregiving. And
okay.
It's not just caregiving of children. I can't walk or have a conversation with anyone without hearing, oh, I have an aging parent who I'm trying to deal with. I have someone in my family who has dementia. I have someone in my family who has a learning disability. And we know that during COVID, the resources for those groups shrunk.
Yeah.
They have not come back. Mm. And we also, I think, and this is where I think it's positive, we're trying to dispel the myth that caregiving and all that stuff that happens at home, you handle at home. It impacts you as a human, as an employee. And so you take that to work.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether pre-COVID we were talking about it. When you were on Zoom and the kids were at the kitchen table and you were at the kitchen table, everybody was acutely aware of it. We can't now go back to the way we were before and say it's something separate. I think it is completely linked to having a strong workforce.
Right.
So that's where AIM is leaning in to say, we need resources to bring back more childcare facilities. We need resources to help our workers who are dealing with aging parents, because they may have to leave work for a couple hours to take mom to a neurologist appointment.
Yeah.
So how are we leaning in there and providing the support to the workers, but also the employers, so that those employees can stay where they are?
Yeah. Yeah.
We've created a generation that wasn't there 10 years ago, the sandwich generation, right?
Oh, okay.
But, you know, you've got children, you know, whether they're teenagers or young children, but then also aging parents.
Wow.
And the generation is the workforce, is the majority of the workforce is in that middle.
Okay.
To handling both.
Oh my gosh. So we're the sandwich.
We're the
sandwich. The middle of the sandwich.
We're the bologna.
And we know. Exactly. And we know that this disproportionately impacts women. People of color, people from lower socioeconomic groups. And I know AIM and MassMAP care greatly about making sure we have more diversity in the sector
and
the economy overall. So again, you can't get to that equity if you're not looking at issues like caregiving.
Right.
Well, and I think hybrid, you know, we were talking about it this morning, you know, the hybrid work. Right?
Yes.
You know, our companies are they obviously manufacturing, if you're on the shop floor, it's very difficult to do hybrid.
Right.
But what can you do?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had a client during COVID that had someone, obviously they were still producing, but he had health issues. He was older. He had health issues. They let him take the parts home and assemble them at home.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, it's that.
That's crazy.
And he came in on Monday morning, picked up the parts, dropped them off on Friday. No interaction with anybody. But it's that flexibility.
That's the word.
That
yeah.
that companies need to have, whether yeah. you're in manufacturing or healthcare. You have to think about the flexibility.
Yeah.
And how can you do that?
Yeah.
How can
yeah.
you do that for your workforce?
There's no one size fits all, but yeah. the manufacturers, the employers who are flexible,
yeah.
retain the talent,
yep.
have greater diversity, have just sense from their employees that they want to stay connected
yeah.
and sticky within the organization.
Yeah, like that.
And that can look like, not every industry can do that, to Kathy's point, right? But we have a manufacturer down on the South Shore, and the entire shop floor is women. They all have kids that get out of school at the same time. So they created a new shift so that they could augment
yeah. nice.
Who was coming in when, so yeah. that these folks could go pick up the kids.
Yeah.
Finding that flexibility, being creative, is how you're going to be more successful.
Because yeah. it's not always about the dollar, right?
Yeah.
Yes, it's important. You pay a fair wage. I mean, obviously that. But I think we all learned from the pandemic that the flexibility in having, being able to balance that life-work balance.
Quality of life.
The quality yeah. of life is just as valuable as the paycheck.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's manufacturers, I think, are embracing that where
yeah.
in this post-pandemic world.
I almost feel like it's kind of one of those things where we needed the reset.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as we all hated it and it was so awful, you know, like, and obviously there'll be other things that came out of it. But I think the whole time we were in it, we always would try to find some type of a silver lining.
Right.
But yeah. it really was a good reset for us as human beings.
To slow down.
Yes. Yeah. yeah.
To remind us what's important.
Yeah.
And to think differently about yeah. how we do everything.
Yeah.
How we yep. spend time with our families.
Yeah.
How we engage in the office. How we grow our economy. Right.
Yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to say, what was working, let's keep it.
Yeah.
But if there's places where we can change and be right. better,
yeah.
let's embrace that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
No, that's great.
That's
I love
message.
It.
Yeah.
yeah. I think the other thing, only because of how passionate Tim was for this, was the vocational stuff. And the seats in the schools. And I know that because I have a sophomore in high school. I have an older daughter who would have very much benefited from going to a vocational school and doing something that way, and didn't really know and understand as a parent, didn't have a lot of the information and the knowledge of things. Then I talked to parents and their children are in a traditional high school and they're like, oh no, we're gonna send them to the VOTech, but then they're gonna go to college. And it does create a lot of, I didn't realize that there was such a problem though with the seats and not having enough seats for that. So does that have an impact then for the pipeline for these manufacturers?
It absolutely does. So his message this morning that, you know, advocate for, talk to your legislators about increasing those seats.
Okay.
I will say that the previous administration, the Baker-Polito administration, put into place the STEM innovation schools, is that what they're
yeah.
called? The innovation pathway schools.
Okay.
Which helps address some of that issue, and it tends to be around STEM careers.
Okay.
So it addresses some of those seats at some of the schools, but it does not solve the problem of, you know, we're not all book learners. We're some
yeah.
people are hands-on learners,
yeah.
which is the benefit of a technical school.
Yes.
So how do we make sure that those people don't get lost in the system?
Right.
I think we have to look more creatively at education
yeah.
holistically.
Okay.
It's part of what I said in the panel discussion, that we get so caught up in divisiveness or one sector over another or one way of doing things over the other. And let's be honest, again, I'll go back to it. Massachusetts is known for its higher education,
yes.
colleges and universities. Yep. But while we need to continue to lean in there because that's the right path for some folks, I do think we do a disservice by not talking about other pathways. Now, I will say the Healy Driscoll administration has really leaned in as far as skills-based
yes.
learning.
Yes, yes, they are.
Calling yep. on employers and saying, listen, do you need to have a four-year degree to do that job?
Yes.
Do you need to have certain requirements right. that you've always put whenever you do a posting? I think that's a real place employers can lean in to make
Agree.
A change. But again, Kathy and Tim are right. We still have to create that pathway for students so
yes.
they can see themselves in those opportunities
yeah.
from a pipeline
yeah.
perspective.
And I think at 18, you know, college isn't for everyone.
Right.
Correct.
So the administration has put in those skills pathway programs. You know, some of the programs that we're working on
yes.
provide the skills. You know, if the employers bring someone in, we'll help train them, we'll help unique to their skill set and required at the company. But the community colleges are also offering a lot more certificate programs,
yes.
Which are very specific to specific industries,
yeah.
Which allow for those careers to happen to starting. So
yeah, that's great. Well, what do you think? It was good, right?
Some great yeah. lines on this podcast.
I know. This is amazing.
Yeah, you guys did great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you guys. Thanks for doing this. We appreciate it, taking your time, because it, it's a lot to ask. But we try to get as much of important information out to the audience as we can. I don't know. We might have to try to do another reset so more people start listening to the podcast again in some way. But this was great. Thank you so much for being a part of it. Yeah.
Being part of
it. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I would say we love doing this.
Yeah.
Kathy's fabulous. So thank yeah. you for having us and giving us an opportunity to talk to more people. I will say I never get told that I'm too quiet. So.
No, I love it. And I said that to Kevin. I was like, I think we'll be fine. You know, like we're going to be good. I think we'll be good. It'll be a good balance. We can make it work. So yeah. No, this was great. So yeah, thank you both so
thank
much.
You.
Appreciate it. Thank so. Don't be surprised if you get another invite. And then, and when you get it, you'll be like, I know what she's emailing for. I know what she wants.
You
I got
me.
It.
I said, we do this monthly. We do a roadshow. I'm all about it.
Yes.
Let's
yeah.
Do
yeah.
It.
Is there anything you guys have coming up that you want to plug a little bit?
Sure. So yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We actually have an event coming up in the middle of November about AI workforce manufacturing.
Nice.
So some of the topics that we talked about today, it'll actually be at Johnson & Johnson.
Okay.
One of our members who's really trying to say, how do we incorporate AI into manufacturing, but some of the workforce challenges, dispelling some of those myths. So we are out there trying to have some of those conversations.
Okay.
As we try to figure out where the industry is moving.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
I'm excited for that. I've actually already registered. So.
Yeah, that's yeah. great. All right. Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you again soon.
Great job.
Yes. Okay. So, Kevin, we are back. This is great.
We're just going right into it.
Well, yeah, we can, and we can just have new guests, like, on the fly.
Took a little bit of a break, and we're back.
Yeah, they don't know that, though.
Yeah, they don't know that.
No, it's just, they have no idea. Yeah. Time has lapsed. Mm-hmm. 3 hours later. We can use that. Yeah, I can use that. That's a TikTok thing, right?
It's a SpongeBob thing, but yeah.
Okay, works. Same thing. Yeah, okay. I know from TikTok. That's all I know.
Great.
So would you like to introduce the guests?
No,
you
it's
don't...
okay. You
oh, okay, okay. So we have with us our vendor manager, Christina Dearborn. Is this your first podcast?
It is. Thank you for inviting me. I feel
oh,
so privileged.
So exciting. Well, you're with seasoned experts, so
great.
You're fine.
You can carry me.
Yeah, you're good. And president, CEO, owner, founder... Anything
all
else?
Above.
All the things. all the things, John Sinopoli from Synagex, Modern IT. Somebody said to me today, wait, is that their real name? Because I thought it was just Synagex.
Yeah, Synagex is the legal name.
Okay. Yeah.
Modern IT is what we do.
Yeah. So welcome. So thanks for you guys for joining us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, you can start with your question.
Okay, we'll get
yeah.
right into it.
Yeah.
What do you think your guys' favorite portion of the resource showcase was today?
From my standpoint, as the vendor manager here, I think it was great, one, to see vendors in person that
yeah.
we don't always get to connect with,
yeah.
and even speaking with a lot of the resources, them connecting with each other.
Yeah.
So I think that was great. We're all in the same room. We all have this same goal, right, of helping manufacturers working with MassMEP. So I think that was like the biggest takeaway, just hearing the conversations and them saying like, we should connect after this and make sure we're all in each other's ear and we know like this person does this, this person does that. So I think that was like the best takeaway that I got from this morning. Yeah.
Cool.
I was prepared for like the icebreaker. There's no icebreaker for this.
No, we go right in. Yeah.
I mean, I echo kind of the same thing, right? I think it's great to meet the network of resources that MassMEP works with. And I really just always love the opportunity to have some time with clients, right? They have lots of questions.
Yeah.
This is just a great place for us to connect. Of course, also very cool that, you know, we received a very prestigious award.
Congratulations.
So,
yes.
That was probably
Yeah. So congratulations, Resource of the Year. Yeah, yeah, it's our new award, first ever. First ever. Yeah. I know, yeah, that was pretty. So did you expect anything like that at all, or like nothing at all?
No, completely surprised.
Yeah.
Completely surprised, you know? I had a little bit of time to prepare some notes. Just
a couple hours.
24, yeah, 12.
So I was thankful for yeah. that, but it was a wonderful surprise.
Yeah.
We love working with NASA.
Yeah. I know. It's fun.
And the recognition is awesome. I feel it. You know, the team feels it. I might even try to film the reaction when I walk into the office with the award. I'm telling you right now.
So they don't know.
Some of them know because I've been with them. But some of them don't. But they're going to be thrilled when they see
it. Yeah. Oh, it was so exciting. And I think for me, I think the two speeches was great. It was so good. But it hit just the right way it needed to hit. Like, I know it was fun, but it really did make an impact. Like, you're like, this is my speech, and then this is the Chat GPT speech, because we talked about a little bit of technology, and so it was perfect.
It was
great. What a great idea. Loved it.
Yeah. I'd like to take credit for coming up with that, but truly, when I was in the office and I got the email, I said, oh, we're going to do a speech. We're going to give an acceptance speech together. So he's like, hold on a second. Generated it in AI, and we were reading it in the office, and it was making us laugh.
Yeah.
It was powerful, dramatic.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
So as we were thinking about it, it's like, oh, we have to include some of this. This is just too good.
Yeah.
Sent back to GPT.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. Well, we had Chat GPT generated questions too.
You did?
That were at the tables, just in case. Yeah. That's Christy. Christy goes right to it. She's like, hold on. I'm doing it right now. And you can just see her wheels rolling as she's doing it. So yeah,
she's
it was
done
great.
With like the task before we even like get started. Yeah. She's like, oh, that's
yeah, that was good. It was really exciting. We did the micro sessions. You did micro sessions. What do you feel about the micro sessions? Do you think that's good because it gives you one-on-one time, or like, I mean, I guess, we've never done it before, so it's not really like we can compare it to anything, but yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a nice way to break a large group down.
Yeah.
I think folks have a little more freedom to navigate, you know, the day in the way that's important to them.
Yeah.
And the sessions were just the right size, right, where you really could, you know, have a meaningful conversation if you needed to. Timing-wise, seemed to work out pretty well. Connected with a few good people.
Yeah. Good. Well, I think too, that's the way that you say that, you know, you could get very personal for 15 minutes, and I think you can learn a lot about somebody in 15 minutes. So yes, that, right?
Well, and a few people had come in too, like when it ended, we were kind of just getting started on the conversations, which is great. So it's like, there was a lot, it was intimate, but there was a lot of buzz in the room. Like I said, I got on the mic, no one's listening.
Yeah.
Which is great though, because there was a lot of talk, there was a lot of connections, so I thought it was great. Their room was great. Yeah.
That's good.
That's what
good.
The event's for.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Do you have any other good questions? Do you remember? What else? What was the other one that you asked? We had Brooke and Kathy on, and we talked to them for a little bit.
That was great. I thought that was a great, like, add to the morning.
Yes.
Just, having that fireside chat and having them give kind of a overview of what's going on in the state, I thought that really added to the morning.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it. I saw that on the agenda.
Well,
they said it was a safety hazard.
Yeah. Well, unless next year we get a solo stove that has a Synodex name on it, and then we'll be roasting s'mores at the next event.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Great idea.
Uh huh. Oh yeah. Uh huh. I can't wait. Yeah.
The only question I have that you guys alluded to a bit is, why are events like these so important for manufacturers? So if you have anything.
Well, I think and even Kathy and Brooke talked about this morning, but just manufacturers, right, every day they're just getting through the day, right? And so a lot of times we try and just get the fires out, and we're not thinking about like what is out there, all these resources. If you don't know, you don't know. So just taking the time to kind of step out of the office for a little bit to connect, see what's out there, learn a little bit, I think they're so important. And I think as we get back to like in-person events, like there is something to just seeing somebody face to face, getting connection, making, you know, having conversations. I think these events are important and they're needed. We do so much virtually and digitally, but it still comes back to the people and who you're working with as partners and who, you know, you are dealing with in person. So I think it's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a perfect answer. At one of the micro sessions today, I talked to a woman who company of less than 10, and she owns the business, but she's having some resource constraints, doing some shop floor work, you know, trying to figure out all the challenges. Cybersecurity is kind of the bottom of the list, right? It's like, oh, I know it's important, but yeah, I'm so busy. And so having the day, right, having the opportunity to separate from all that,
yeah,
and meet with someone face-to-face, mm-hmm, and get some real information, and really, you know, presented with some opportunities to like, solve some of those challenges. It's really
yeah, yeah, I think it can definitely be overwhelming for a lot of these manufacturers, because I feel like all these resources are very important to the structure of your facility. And it's like cybersecurity is like, I would think that would be like at the top, but you also think this is at the top and like this is, mm-hmm, at the top. So
yeah,
it's
absolutely
important to, yeah, like, yes, get to these, yeah, resource showcases where you can actually put a name to the face and really get down to earth with who you're talking to. And it's incredible.
What Kathy brought up a point earlier, what she thought was good, but resources and resources. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get the best of both worlds, right? So you get to meet with the manufacturers, but then other resources. Were you able to do that too and connect with some of them?
Yeah, so I think a couple tables down from us, there's some safety trainers.
Yeah.
I mean, that wouldn't be the table that I would think would be the cultural fit with an exciting IT company. They're so cool.
Yeah.
We had so much fun together. And, you know, for us, it's a big part of, you know, partnering,
yeah,
and working alongside folks like MassMVP,
yeah,
it's really about that, right?
Yeah.
It's, the information is critical, the services are critical, you know, but for us, it's also really important to make sure that there's cultural alignment,
yeah,
and mission alignment, and so it is really cool, you know, to have the opportunity. Where else would I run into, you know, a safety, you know, trainer,
yeah,
and realize that, hey, this is a company that we can work really well with?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's a big part of like being in person, right? Like making the connection,
yes,
saying like, oh, we mesh, like this is, mm-hmm, cool. And, mm-hmm, so we already talked about it, like going forward, kind of getting our resources together a little bit to collaborate and be in each other's ear, and helps everybody, right? Helps everybody grow, and it helps manufacturers as well. So,
yeah,
I think it's all great.
You made a great point in your speech. I think we should do a resource mixer, because you did talk about getting beer with everyone, right? Of course, right? You know, so I think that's,
yeah,
maybe we do a little resource mixer. We try to find central locations, maybe, you know, like, yes, you host one at your place, you know, and we do, like, everybody gets together. So there you go. No, it was great. I thought it's fun for us, because we did get to do Kathy, because Kathy said, what did she say? She said for the first time, like the four of you that were in the main, yeah, ballroom area, like as our primary sponsors, you never get together.
No.
And it was so cool for the four of you to be together, to kind of get to know each other, because every piece of you could be an overlap.
Right.
Like safety trainers and Exolytic, the ISO, right? ISO standards, and then how CMMC falls into that. And then even, you know, like Scale 360, yeah, with Chris and what he's got going on. So it really did, she's like, it was kind of neat to see that happen. Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, right, manufacturers just need problems solved. I think it's great when you have a strong network of folks that are trustworthy and you can rely on, you know, the sort of engagement that you expect, the professionalism, the skills, and just the people.
Yeah.
So it is really cool to have that all in one place, and it's good for us to meet them so that when we come across those situations, you know, at a client, we also have a good sense for what other services MassMVP can offer.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's what Kathy said. She said that, right? And, yeah, she said how now they can go in, and when they're talking about something, if they hear a pain point,
right,
they can say, oh, you guys should talk to, yeah, Synajax, or, you know, hey, you should talk to safety trainers, like if you see something. And it really does become more holistic,
yeah,
for their well-being. So, yeah, that was good.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk about swag. What did you get?
What did I get?
What swag did you get?
I personally, yeah, got some more golf balls.
Yep, and they're from?
They're from Synajax.
Yes.
I only got things from Synajax.
I was going to say, let's just be clear. Yes, let's be clear.
Took another set of golf balls for Kim Ingles.
Yes.
And then went back into Synajax, grabbed the lunchbox for Matt Healy.
Okay.
Right at the table.
Yes, yeah. I got a fanny pack, a water bottle, and an umbrella.
And
I got nothing. Nothing. I'll be back.
Well, they have to pack the box up and walk out, so I'm sure on their way out, you can, rumble through. He will. He'll send you a great package. Before you know it, you'll be like, what is this gift on my desk? That's what it is.
Everything I'm wearing says
I know. So, well, thanks, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, appreciate it. That was an easy one. This is an easy one for you.
Yeah.
You're probably like, wait, this is what they're all like? Some of them aren't. Some of them are a little bit more heavy.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll have one.
They're always careful.
They're killers. Okay.
No, you can't.
Well, thank you taking it
you're
easy
either
on
be
me.
Honest or you're going to let
out. I'm too honest. Really so, yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we'll, but we do have one we need to sit down and do with you. We need to talk a little bit about what's going on with CMMC. Yeah. Final ruling. So what you've got to do is you need to come up with some kind of name or some kind of, which I know you don't come up with them because they're real in your world, but we like to be able to use them. Threat actor, ninja, whisperer. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Matt did say he's going to take a photo so we can see the certificate and the award up, and then you'll probably do a good little post and tag us in it. And yeah, we'll repost it so everybody can see your award. But yeah, the video would be great. Love to see the video.
Sounds good.
And I did get some of the video of you talking, so we might use some of those talking points because I got the ChatGPT one and it was like really good about us, like, and who we are, and I was like, oh, this is great. I feel like I'm on a campaign right now. Vote for me. I'm the politician. Like, no, pick Mass MEP, and this is why you should pick Mass MEP. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So exciting. So yeah.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a safe travels back to Pittsfield.
Yep.
You got a shout out
west
today.
Yep.
Are you excited about that?
Actually, we did. We high-fived.
Pittsfield.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it Brooke that said it or Tim? One of them.
It was Brooke.
Was it Brooke? Yeah. Brooke's like, yeah, why do we have that in Pittsfield?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt turned to me and he's
like, get forgotten out there, right?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's great. Well, have a safe trip back, and we'll see you soon. Yeah, and
cool.
Congratulations on your first podcast and your first big event.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us for the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
See
you. Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises.
You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcast, or you can always go to our website at massmep.org.
We'll see you next time, whether it's in
our space,
your space,
or cyberspace.